Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight. A reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Hello there, and welcome everybody to Nightlight. This is my favorite hour of the day / night. In many ways, we for this moment in time become the bridge between yesterday and tomorrow. This is a time where magic can happen, where we can actually start to plan and start to see tomorrow for the good things that we want to come our way. So I think that in many ways this is a great place, a great time for Nightlight. We've jumped this show all over creation back and forth, and we'll continue to do so. It's so much fun to be able to actually have Nightlight back on when it's actually dark outside. For those of you that don't know, that was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk there, inviting you in to come out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and, with any luck, some wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life and from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing, and of evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, lightworkers, lightbearers, spiritual empaths, shamans, and that list, well, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and the shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, put your feet up, share your lights with us and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Deb tonight and Jen Young, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We'll be doing readings shortly, and if you would like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long. It does fill up. Deb is in the chat room, and if you have any questions at all, she's the person you have to ask. I really am not capable of running a switchboard doing readings and hopefully talking with my co-host guest here so that she's Barbara DeLong Coho, and she can answer your questions for you very, very well. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to hear more about that amazing voice. I'm at barbaradelong.com, and Jen Young is at jenyoungsite.blogspot.com, and she is shortly going to have actually a website up. Of course, now that I've promised it, she's going to have to do it. This is such a cool hour of the night, and I'm so delighted that you know there are other insomniacs out there. I can't think of a better way to spend an evening when you can't sleep than with other people who also possibly can't sleep. I want to talk just briefly for a minute about my amazing guest tonight, Jen Young. She comes from the Pacific Northwest. I don't know if she comes from there, but that's where she lives now. And she is an amazingly wonderful, gentle, kind, stupendous energy. And Deb has picked her up. Great. So it's nice to know that I have a co-host that knows how to use Skype as well as Deb does. She has a gentle energy. She is one of the most sensitives I've ever worked with. And she has a quality about her that is most profound. She treats very lightly aspects of her abilities and her gifts that all of us would just almost, you know, I don't know, sell a soul for almost, but not quite. I'd give away a good 40 pounds, though. She not only has the intuitive ability to tune into someone, but she also utilizes more of the senses than most of us who read do. She uses smell and taste on top of everything else, and it's just amazing to hear her suddenly say something about a smell or an odor, not bad, that the person can relate to immediately. And I think the very first time she caught me, she actually smelled peanut butter, and of course that's what I love to have for lunch, but in deference to her, I have not had peanut butter today. She's sensitive, she's intuitive, she's a medium as well. She is able to absolutely be inspiring and insightful with what she does and says, and I'm so glad that she's here tonight to share that energy and those talents and all of the other good stuff with her. So, of course, I don't know where Deb is now because I just see Jen on the of course, we'll ask Jen. We'll ask. Hi, so you have Jen with you?
I do.
Hi, Jen.
She's back here kind of chuckling under her breath. But, yeah.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. What a wonderful introduction. You make me laugh and blush at the same time. Wow.
Well, that's a good thing. You know, I truly believe that people should not write their own bios. I think that the people around them, you know, who know them well, are the ones that should write the bios. And in some cases, you know, not so the case that some people shouldn't have a bio at all. But those people that really need to have a bio, there are a couple of people I'd love to write a bio for, but it wouldn't get them a job or anything. But
pardon me.
But I think that the people who love us should be the ones that write our bios, because they have no problem with saying wonderful things about us. And we, on the other hand, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm the same way you are quite humble. And I won't even let Chris read my bio as an intro on her show on Curious Times, because it embarrasses me. It's, you know, it's not that I don't do all those things or have all of those things, you know, in my resume, but it's embarrassing. And you know, it in many ways it builds you up so much that you can't help but disappoint someone that gets a reading from you. So I think what she says now is, I'm a human being on this earth, and that's about it. And
well,
I can live
I was you can live up to that. I was just typing blah 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 when she starts talking about me. Blah blah blah.
Well, please
don't, right?
Yeah, no, it's you know, and you know, after you hear your intro 5 or 6 times, it really gets boring. And so you know, my bio was written very well, and it's a good bio, and you know, I did, you know, help to put it together. But it's sort of like, when you've lived as long as I have, you've done a lot of things. And, you know, most people have done a lot of things when they get to 70. And so, you know, you kind of think, damn, you know, first they're going to think, you know, I'm, you know, I mean, it's scary. So, I mean, and I did offer to write your bio for you earlier today, and I will. I'd be really happy to do that, because I think I could write you a good bio. And you don't have to read it and tell people about it. You just have to give it to them and sit there and blush. So it works for me. But, you know, we're coming into a time here where it's almost everybody should have a website. It, no longer are resumes, you know, the thing that people ask for. I mean, almost everyone, whether they be a psychic or a teacher or whatever, have some sort of resume on the internet. And it saves paper.
It does save paper, but it's also, you and I were talking about that earlier, it's also really intrusive in a sense when we want to remain not, I think, private. Parts of us are very private and should remain so. But, you know, it's I don't know how to phrase it right now. You know, I love doing what I do, and you love doing what you do. We don't consider it work. We consider it play, and I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And that's how it should be. Someone just in the chat room said your website is fabulous. It is. Like, your new website is absolutely the bomb, as they would say. It's just terrific. I didn't know whether I had to give you my new email for that or not, if you'd kept everything from the old one and put, you know, merge two or what you did. It's just like, and I know you put an incredible amount of work into it. Good, Barbara.
Well, it is. It's a lot of. Well, yeah. I mean, I did do all the writing, but it is. It was on the old website, but you never saw it. So, it's much more accessible now, and I have my special projects, which I love, that I continuously put information up on. You know, the giants and the spiritual and the secrets of the stones and the UFOs and all of that stuff. And there are a couple of other areas of study that are going to be going up there. The Emerald Tablets, certainly very shortly, will have a tremendous amount of information on it as well. So I said when first I wanted to do a website, and I realized that I actually had, you know, it took a year before I understood I was supposed to write it. So it got held up by a year, and when they finally informed me that, you know, yeah, I could have a website, but I had to do the writing, and so I started in writing, and it was an amazing thing. I found my voice, and it was just profound, and it was so exciting to put stuff out there, and when the people who were helping me develop a website a decade ago, they said, well, now what do you want this to be? You know, you're a reader. Is it, you know, main thing is, do you want to get readings? And I said, oh God, no, that's not what I'm focused on. I want a teaching site. And you know, they said, well, what's that? You know, most psychics don't have a teaching site. And I said, well, you know, that's okay. I want a teaching site. I want to be able to put information up there that people can access, that people can, you know, copy out and use or apply to their own lives or whatever. I want to have a place where I can just give out good insight that is mostly channeled information. And so that's what it became. And, you know, aside from the fact that there's a big slider that goes across the top about book or reading, you have to really hunt and search for, you know, where the reading page is if you want to find that. I mean, and I think there is a thing down the side if you want to book a reading or if you want to sign on and follow the website, because there will be newsletters that come out. So if you want to get the newsletter, you have to register for the newsletter on the website. I think that's on the very front page too. And that's going to be exciting, putting out I think it's going to be a quarterly newsletter at first, and then if it catches on, I'll do it more frequently. But, you know, just some very insightful stuff as far as, you know, what's going on in the world and what I feel coming. And, you know, it will be above and beyond the cosmic forecast, because it will be more focused on what actually is going on at that point in time. So that's exciting, and you know, it's just it keeps kind of evolving, and it's almost like it has a life of its own. So, but yeah, I think that I think if most people had websites, you know, it would help a lot, and that's what Facebook is to a certain extent. But you know, with someone like you, you give out, you know, some amazing, insightful, beautiful stuff, and I think you should be sharing it, you know, whether it's something that you want to publish at some point in time or, you know, whatever. It's a wonderful platform to stretch yourself on.
I'm just sorry. I was just trying to get Garth came as soon as he heard us talking. And I don't know how he knows. He knows. He came right up to the computer. No, I agree with you about having websites. I've got to get a couple of them made. Hang my head in shame. once again, I'm being kicked in. Oh, be quiet. I know. I just, oh, gosh, it's hard to be me sometimes. But I think we all feel that.
Well, I think that especially you, because, I mean, you've been working in this field for a long time, and yet you've been sort of in the shadows and under the radar, it feels like. And it's only the last couple of years that you've really been, you know, getting out there on the airwaves and stuff like that, I think. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Those that know me and know what I do, you know, why haven't you done this? I can think of a couple of people, and for certain, I would say, you know, it's about bloody time, kid. You know, we've told you and told you and told you to do this. And, you know, it's lack of confidence, I guess, in a sense, but it's also, I don't even know if it's lack of, part of it's lack of confidence, part of it's just saying, all right, I'm going to do it, procrastination, and I don't know why procrastination.
Well, you know, I think...
It doesn't serve anybody, does it, you know, when we do that.
Not really, but don't you really think sometimes that everything has its time and everything has its frequency, and sometimes you know personally that yes, it's the right time, or no, it's not the right time. And you know, and much as people keep telling you, no, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, the reality is that you'll do it when it's the right time. And yes, it's procrastination to a degree, but then at some point in time, the universe just kicks you in the butt and says, get on with it.
I know, and I firmly believe that when we are ready and not before, well, we can say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Something is put in our way, perhaps. I know for me, things have been put in my way, and it's freedom of choice, and we all have that. We can say, oh, what's the future going to hold? Well, we're given choices, and which choices are we going to make? Have they been made previous? Do we know what we're going to do? Or are we going to do what's right at that certain point in time? Really philosophical questions. I know for myself, you know, now is the absolute right time to just, you know, jump in with both feet and get going on this. It's something that I've wanted for so long. And, pain in the head. I'm writing notes down because I've got people giving me messages here. You know, it's something I've wanted for so long, and I've put it off, and I've known intuitively that it wasn't the right time, because if it was the right time, it wouldn't have been so difficult to get there. Now
right.
Everything is falling into place quite easily, as it should. So it's quite amazing in a sense how it all comes to be. You know, I was talking to my daughter today, very intuitive young lady, and I told her about this dream I had about a past life, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, she said, oh, I've had that same dream, Mom. And it was about all the women in our family, my side of the family, and she made sure it was my side and how we'd all met. We were all witches, if you want to call it witches, all shared the gift, whatever one wants to call it. But we'd all gathered in my mother's house. And my mom has died, but my mom was still there when she dreamt it and when I dreamt it. So it was kind of really kind of cool and validating everything that we carry this with us.
Yeah.
And that we're doing what we're supposed to do. And I'm just going to break off right here. Who has the pain in their eye, please? Who is not seeing out of their right eye? If you're in chat, please let us know. I've got someone who will not leave me alone, and they are blind in their right eye, or they've had a stroke. I want to laugh. They've had a stroke and it's hit their right side of their face in their eye. They smell like A535 rub.
Smell like what?
I know. You know that A535? It is
no.
A rub for arthritis or muscle aches and pains.
Okay.
This person will not leave.
Kind of
so
like
I'm
Ben Gay?
Yes, it's like Ben Gay.
Okay. Okay, definitely.
I don't know Ben Gay, but I'm going to say because that it is, and it's like a river runs through it. The movie I don't know. I've seen the movie, very boring to me, but I'm supposed to say a river runs through it. So either a river ran through their property, was close to their property. The river meant a lot to them, and so did the autumn, the fall season.
Okay, Glennis has strain in her eyes through it, the headache. Maybe Glennis.
A535. I'm not looking at the screen right now. A535, did that come through? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've been with me a good part of the evening.
Why don't we start taking
reading?
Sorry
about that, Barbara, because they just wouldn't...
No. Oh, no, absolutely.
I got this... It's like someone stuck a pin or something through my right eye. And it's like, are you kidding me? Okay, if you want to come through that badly, I guess I better pay attention to you. And even Garth left.
It wouldn't happen to be dermassage lotion, would it?
What?
Dermassage lotion, the old from the 50s and 60s?
It could be.
It was very heavy wintergreen smell?
Probably. It's a strong rub smell that you would put into sore muscles for arthritis.
Right.
This person was very arthritic.
Deb, is this your grandmother?
I'm thinking. I was just looking at the clock. I believe this is her anniversary date.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah,
I had to
freezing.
It had to through me because this was the grandmother I almost never knew.
Mhm. Yeah, well, she is full bore here. I've actually got on a little winter coat now, and I'm zipping it up.
Mhm.
And she's wiping her nose too. Holy smokes. She was not letting us go. And I smell the wood fire, like an outdoor fire with her. And there was also another scent that came in. It was a delicious fresh scent is what I wrote down. Just the most delicious fresh scent. You're going to laugh. Clean diapers.
No, I'm not laughing. I was thinking of a crisp winter morning, like when they throw the windows open and you let the fresh air in,
mm-hmm.
How it's crisp and clean, and it almost makes the sheets crackle.
Yeah. And you know, when you put, we had the old cloth diapers when I was a kid, and a neighbor, they were flannel, you know, the flannel diapers.
Mm-hmm. We had flannel sheets too, but yeah.
Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
snap them and then hang them up on the clothesline.
Yep.
Yep. That's the scent. It's such a delicious smell to me. Oh, just a delicious, and the room just filled with it.
They aired the house out every day.
Well, she strolled all in to say hello.
Well, hello, Grandma.
Just came by to say hi. What's that song? I just came by to say goodbye or something. Brian Adams. You know who'd know? That would be Chris. I'd have to look it up. But there you go. So thank you, Grandma. I don't know her name.
It would be Helen.
Of course it would be Helen. I was talking about Helen Keller about three times this weekend. So.
Don't you just love those coincidences?
I do, and that is so funny.
And you were stumbling over the rocks in the Green River. Green River was the town near them. It was the... it was the big town, but she grew up in Rock Springs.
Oh. Okay. And there is a song that says, I just came by to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Wow.
Cool.
So that is so cool. I'm just freezing here. Thank you very much, Helen. You're a wonder. You are a wonder. And Deb, thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. But like I say, that's the grandma that I didn't know much. She was my mom's mom.
I knew she was from your mom's side because that's the side she came in on. I think most people think that the left side is the female side. I don't know. Everybody from the right is on my mom's side, and the left is male for me. So
well,
it is
just,
what it is.
You know. Switched around.
Whatever.
I switched around.
It's okay. Hey, you know, I'm, you know, just make it ambidextrous, you know.
That's right.
Instead of dyslexic. So it's all okay. I thank you. Now I'll hang up and, well.
No, don't hang up.
So you can get back to the show. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. And thank you to Helen. If she comes in like that again, we'll know.
Yeah, we sure will.
Okay. Before I do start opening the lines, I know some of the people here have been on the show before and some have not. So just in case, you know, this may be a slightly different audience staying up at midnight to 2 in the morning with us, we don't take questions. We give you what we get. And and we just sort of let spirit speak through us. So that you know, if you do have a specific question, you're just bursting to ask somebody. There are lots of really great shows out there, and probably some of them are on right now. But we're not going to let you ask a question. We're going to give you information. So if that is something that you just have to do, then you know, best you go elsewhere, because we won't be answering questions, but we will be giving you lots of information. So. If you hang in there, you know, you can expect to get some interesting information. Okay, so we've got Lori first. Hi, Lori. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, hi. I'm trying to hang in there.
Okay.
Stressed out.
Okay, well, are you awake now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna give you what Spirit gives me, and then Jen is gonna give you what she's getting, and hopefully we will be able to enlighten you slightly. Okay, I'm seeing tons and tons of flowers around you. It feels almost as though you're in a field of flowers, and almost to the point where. My sinuses are beginning to sort of clog up again. It feels as though that you're actually passing through a time in which you're letting go of many things in your life, and it feels as though some of the things you're letting go of, you're not sure you should let go of, but it does feel as though you are going through a decluttering process, and the more you let go, the further you get into this field, and the more vibrantly alive and the more vibrantly radiant the flowers become. And every time you let go of something, and a lot of this is on an emotional level, some of it is on a physical level as well, but it feels as though for the next couple of months you are going to be just releasing things, letting things go. You're not going to slam any doors, but you're going to stop trying to make things change or make things be different. You're going to allow the flow of the energy of the universe to sort of take you where you're supposed to go, and you are going to flow beautifully. It feels as though there is a shift and a change of your focus. Your perception is shifting and changing, and in many ways, you're rebirthing yourself, and when we go through a birthing process, sometimes it isn't as comfortable as other times are. So there sometimes are places where not you're in pain, but that you kind of are squirming a little bit. It feels as though as you get more towards the November timeframe, things are going to get much easier for you. I see the element of clear sailing. I feel that there is a sense of setting yourself free, and there also is, as you move forward in time here, more towards the end of the year, it feels as though whatever discomforts you may be experiencing now are all resolved and taken care of. Now, that means that you are going to be opening yourself up to new directions and new things. And you have a lot of past lives where you have often struggled with change, but once change has occurred, you absolutely revel in it. And in many places, you have just absolutely, I think, the cutest one. And it's really a more recent past life. It feels that I have you back in the 1800s, and I feel that you lived on a farm, and that you were a grandmother who was taking care of children and children's children, and you were taking care of everyone. And as technology moved ahead, you fought it, and you fought it like crazy. And when electricity was installed in the farmhouse, you still kept your lantern. And you wouldn't read by anything other than the lantern. Even though there were electric lights, you would turn the lights off and read by your lantern. And then they installed a telephone, and you refused. You absolutely refused to speak on the thing. It was, you know, in many cases, you just said it was the work of the devil and you wouldn't have anything to do with it. And you weren't a Mormon. Everybody else in the family used it, but you refused to use it. And you wouldn't get in the car either. You preferred to ride in the buggy. And they explained to you finally, you know, at some point that there was only one way you were going to get to the doctor or get to see the new babies and things like that, and that you were going to have to ride in the car. And you white-knuckled it everywhere you went. You just hated technology. You hated change. You fought change with every fiber of your being. And when at some point, and you were in, and you lived to be very, very old, and when you were like 99, 102, something like that, you did get ill, and they wanted to take you to the hospital. And you said, no, no, I'd die before I went to the hospital. And they said, but you have to go or you will die. They'll kill me if I go to the hospital. And so they didn't take you, and you did die. And everybody chuckled at your wake because, of course, you were in a hearse that you were driven to the gravesite, and people expected you to rise up out of the coffin and say, "Are you kidding me?" But you have that capacity this lifetime. Change is not something that you're very favorable about. But you were such a cute old lady. You were the sweetest, cutest thing I have ever seen. Short, small. You know, white hair, beautiful, beautiful white hair, glasses, and you absolutely fought technology, and you fought everything new that came into. The only thing that you really, really enjoyed was the refrigerator because you were able to get cold ice cubes out of it from time to time, but that's the only thing you would get out of the refrigerator because everything else was just too newfangled. You have an amazing capacity inside of you for creative endeavors. And if I take you back to maybe 400 or 500 years, you were a very, very creative person writing. You wrote beautiful poetry. You wrote beautiful sonnets. You wrote beautiful stories of love and lost love and then found love. And you were an amazingly creative woman. You published under a man's name, and you did publish. And your name was quite well known, and some of your work still exists to this day. You have a talent for writing this lifetime. I don't know if you've experienced it or utilized it. But
I don't
this
like
is,
writing.
Well, you have a gift for it. You don't have to write. But you have a gift for it and a talent for it. And at some point in time, I really believe that you're going to start playing with it. There are other creative talents that you bring through this lifetime. Writing is really a very profound one, but you have a gift for design, you have a gift for color, you have a unique talent for, I think, one of the most most notable talents and gifts you have is that you are able to see the best in everyone, and you can see good things in people that no one else can see. So that you have that wonderful capacity to know that there is good in everyone and you can actually find it. That capacity is going to hold you in good stead, because quite often people get reputations and they can't live them down. But with you, you can see inside and you know the good and the magic that is inside of everyone, and that's a wonderful talent and gift to have. Jen, what are you getting?
Well, I'm getting a lot, actually. What's your name again, please?
Lori.
Lori.
Yes.
Okay. What I got even before you came on, Lori, was the smell of fresh bread. Brilliant, brilliant fresh bread.
Fresh bread?
Fresh bread. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if that means anything to you. Just hang on to it. If it doesn't, then it will. I also got the lyrics to the song San Francisco. If you're going to San Francisco, you know, be sure to wear a flower in your hair. It was by Scott McKenzie. So I don't know if the city of San Francisco, hard for me to say tonight, means anything to you or not. Or if you've traveled there. But to me it means that you're going to be traveling. I also get that you're having money issues right now.
Yeah.
And, pardon me?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And you're worried about homelessness, and I don't know why that is, because you're not going to be homeless.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're worried about that. I've written all this down. And also, please keep believing in the power of prayer. And I'm giving you the stone, the angelite stone. It's a light blue stone. And you can look it up.
Yeah.
And it provides love, healing, and the power of protection. And I want you to, keep that with you. It's it means that your angels are around you, and you can talk to them at any time, and they will come to you, and they will converse with you. Believe what you hear. Have faith. I love the word faith, because faith means belief, and it means that things will come to be. Hope means that we sort of live in a bit of fear. We move fear into anticipation and step into desire. What I'm also getting is that you're a very inspiring individual, and that even though you don't realize it at times, you do inspire so many others with your positive outlook on life and your innate ability to rise to the challenge. I also echo Barbara when she says about past lifetimes. I get that that you were either a Native Indian or an Aztec or something of that nature in a past life, because it resonates very strongly and it comes forth just like a bolt of lightning right now. And the colors especially are very profound. And that would be the reds, the oranges, the blacks, oh, I love black, and the browns, the earth tones. I don't know if that's earth tone or not, but that's what I'm saying, because it reminds me of the earth and what I see when I walk. That's what I get for you. So please don't worry about, I know it's easy for us to say, don't worry about your money issues, don't worry about being homeless. Everything will work out. I'm given the number 6 for you and the number 12.
Number 6.
Okay.
Number 12. Okay.
So I don't know if those numbers are significant in your life right now. It could be, 6 days, 6 months, 6 years. Definitely not 6 years. unless someone's 6 years old in your life, or the month of June. But whatever's going to change. Are you looking for a new job right now?
I'm looking for a place to live.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
I'm living in this apartment that's way out in the county, and the landlords aren't very nice, and I'm hoping to move, but I'm having a hard time finding a place on the Section 8 I'm on, and that'll take pets, because I have two pets now.
I was going to say, you've got cats, don't you?
Yeah.
No. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Are they old cats?
Yeah, they're older. Not one seems pretty old, but yeah, they're older. Like five and maybe four and five.
Oh, yeah, they've got
sure.
a lot of life left in them then.
Yeah, they do.
Now, older, I meant like 15, 16.
Oh, no.
You know.
That old. I don't think they're that old.
No, so you'll probably, Barbara can jump in any time for finding a house. I'm getting 6 to 12. So that's probably 6 to 12 weeks. Barbara, what are you getting?
Yeah, I'm getting the weeks. I think you're looking at about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But you don't want to move. You don't want to settle. Put it that way, Lauren.
Pardon?
You don't want to settle. You want to find something that fits. So, I mean, you could move, like, tomorrow, right? And
right.
get into some place and find out that it sucks.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You want to find, you want to be moving once, not, like, three times.
Right. I've already moved. This will be the third time. And
there you go.
And then but it's hard to find places, too, and my lease is up here in November.
Oh, you'll move.
But you did say something about things being clear sailing in November.
Yeah, you'll move before then.
Okay, and then I was really afraid today because I went to go get some money out of my account today, and it said my balance was $88 when I was supposed to have like $300 some in there. And the week before, there was an unauthorized transaction on my account. They refunded it to me, and I blocked that credit card. And now I'm so anxious about what happened to my money.
Well, you'll be able to find out tomorrow.
Yeah. Do you think there's going to be a problem getting my money, or like there's a
no,
problem
not,
like
no.
I got robbed?
No,
huh?
I don't. No, I think it's going to be fine.
No, and you know, there's so many hackers and that out there, and everybody, you know, most of us have been compromised at some time or another. I've gotten a call and said, you know, this has been compromised. We're working on it, and the panic that sets in is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So just let it go. Know that there's nothing you can do about it until tomorrow.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing.
Right.
And that it will be taken care of.
Okay.
Keep the faith.
Remember
that. Keep the faith. You know, and remember that you are an inspiring individual and that you do inspire and show others what kind of leader you are.
Yeah,
you know,
I see. Yeah,
Barbara said that.
It's definitely getting better. You're through the worst of it. So, you know, just make it to the morning and you're going to find that it's going to be cleared up at the bank for sure.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Ladies are amazing.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, Lori.
Thank you so much. That was great information. I'm really looking forward to November with the clear sailing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blessings to you, darling.
Thank you.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. We've got Veronica here. Hi, Veronica.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Tonight?
Good night.
Great. Okay, I'm going to give you what I get, and then Jen will give you what she gets.
Oh, that sounds good.
You have an amazingly fluid, energetic flow, and I keep seeing streams that are meandering through woods. I keep seeing, I'm not seeing, you know, rushing whitewater rapid type energy. I'm seeing a very, very gentle flow of meandering into what becomes a larger flow of water and a larger flow of water and a larger flow of water. I feel strongly that you are going with the cosmic energy that is basically opening things up to you, and most probably within the last 3 to 6 months, you've been more or less going with the flow very, very, very calmly because things seem to be going in the direction that you have foreseen. I do have to say that when we get too comfortable and we think we absolutely know where we're going, that's when you have to sit back and say, oh, you just know you're wrong. And I almost feel that the universe is sort of starting to chuckle at you because you really think you have it figured out, and you don't, and it's going to be better and more exciting than you anticipate. So just don't continue the way things are going, because I feel that you're moving beautifully. I really do. I think that things are opening up for you gorgeously. I see, again, this meandering stream, and so things are not going to be happening as rapidly as you would like them to, but everything comes in its own time, at its own place, at its own space. And so just, you know, please have patience with a lot of the elements in your life, because it feels like there is a sense of being slightly impatient, wanting to rush things. And you know, it is the trip, it is the journey that is the pleasure, that is the joy, that is the awakening, that is the magic. It's not actually arriving someplace. It's the journey that is where all of the really good stuff is. So enjoy this journey, because this lifetime is one that is going to be a most pleasurable one for you. Certainly there are going to be hurdles, and there are going to be things that, you know, challenge your creativity and your ingenuity, and you're going to be stretched, and there's going to be an element of almost requiring going back to school to some degree, I think, as you move more towards into next year. But it feels as though learning is something that comes easily to you, and that so long as you see the reason for it, you absolutely participate tremendously. I feel that you've got a tremendously spiritual energy around you, and it feels as though the spiritual is an aspect of life that has been calling to you subtly sometimes, and then not so subtly at others. I know you have a feeling that there is something you're supposed to do, that there is a spiritual calling that you have to answer, and it feels as though you're not exactly sure how to answer that call. It feels to me as though you're everything is going in the right direction. So please have patience, because what sometimes we consider a calling, the universe just goes poof. You know, that's nothing. That's no big deal. And it's smaller things that end up being your calling and the reason that you're here this lifetime. Not everybody can stand on a soapbox and draw the attention of the world. And sometimes when you do that, you find you don't have anything to say. So it's wiser to, you know, kind of stay in the shadows a little bit as much as you can and just kind of whisper your wisdoms and hope that the right people catch them, because that's exactly what happens. You have past lives in which you have definitely been a one who serves humanity. I feel that there is a strong healing energy around you, and that in many different lifetimes you were of service during times of stress and turmoil. And in that I mean that you actually were in war, so that your spirit has been present when there was a great deal of warring going on. I hear clashing of swords. I don't hear gunpowder, so I think I'm back in the time. I'm back more in the times of the Crusades, where you know they wore armor and they had swords and they rode into battle that way. And you were not one of the warriors. You were one of the people that came behind with the carts and picked up people that were hurt, and you tended them and you helped them to heal, and you helped them to you brought them back into life, because had they been left on the field of battle, they surely would have died. You had a lifetime in during the Crusades. I think it was the earlier Crusades. You had a period of time where you worked, you were in China, and you were a healer, and you went with the troops, and I keep seeing the Great Wall. So I don't think you helped to build it, but I do believe that you were present when troops were garrisoned to do healing on whoever was there and ill. And you often would help out the local people, and you would even if you know the enemy got wounded, you would tend them, even though you know people looked down their nose at you. Your philosophy was life is life, and we're all a part of life, and you know, the Creator, and you said Creator at that time, the Creator doesn't differentiate between good and bad. He just, you know, looks at a spirit that is hurt and helps them. So you bring that concept, that belief system into this lifetime with you. You really don't judge. You help wherever you can, and that's an aspect that you have really brought into this lifetime, and that you're actually you're demonstrating it. You're walking your talk. You're walking your philosophy far more greatly and more deeply than a lot of the people around you. And a lot of the people around you don't even realize how spiritual you are. And that's fine. That's nothing that has to be worn on your coat sleeve. Your behavior and your attitude and your philosophy are certainly a greater identifier than whatever label you wanted to pin on your chest. You don't need to say, I'm a light worker, or I'm a spirit guide, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. You are being true to yourself, which is probably the greatest gift that you could give to humanity. Jen, what are you getting?
Hi. I'm also getting flowers. I'm getting a ton of songs, music with Veronica. And the music is contemporary music, the 50s music, and more importantly, hymns, gospel, churchy music, I'm getting this incredible, overpowering smell of come on, wax, like lemon wax, like they polished wood with. Incredible. It's like someone is polishing their wood chairs or pews at the church. It's an older woman and an older man that come in, and they're showing me their old oak furniture. And what I'm also being told is that times are changing for you, Veronica. And I'm supposed to mention tattoos to you, so I'm not sure who's got the tattoos or who had the tattoos. But they're coming through. I also get that Thanksgiving, okay, Thanksgiving for you and Thanksgiving for me are different. I take it you're calling from the United States?
Yes.
Okay, so Thanksgiving for you would be in November.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting it, I want to say later October, earlier November. Not because yours would be, I think it's the third week in November, isn't it?
Yes, correct.
You're thinking, yeah. No, I'm going to say later October, earlier November. Changes are going to happen swiftly for you. And it's like the ebb and flow of a tide. And the reason I say that is because they're showing me a box of Tide laundry detergent. I know. How
Oh, God, how bad.
I know how, you know, they're not going to show me the shore, but they're going to do this, and that's okay. but they really want to make sure. I think this older couple, I want to say they're your grandparents, not your parents. And they were godly people. They believed in the Lord, or I'm just going to say they believed in the Lord. They believed in God, and they lived by His word. But the guy with that tattoo is coming through strongly, too. And I don't know if he would be... I want to say he's like a brother figure to you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So he comes through quite strong, and he wants you to know that he is around you all the time. So that is him that you feel. And don't doubt that, okay? He says, don't be a doubting Thomas. Mm-hmm. And I get the smell of diesel around him. You know what diesel fuel smells like? It's stronger than normal gasoline. And I'm getting the smell of diesel. And I'm supposed to tell you it's diesel, not just regular gas. And he's... I'm going to go back because someone's telling me there's a priest, minister. No, he's a fisher of men. And so that goes back to the older couple. They're really crowding in to try and get try and talk to you. Do you? Is this the first time you've called in, Veronica, or have you phoned into shows before? They're coming in quite strongly, and they really want to make contact with you. One of them died of a head injury or something to do with the brain. Because that's where I'm feeling it is in my, specifically in my head.
The brother?
With them.
Oh, the
Pardon?
Brother, you mean?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's the brother.
Yeah.
I'm feeling quite sick with him, too. Oh, poor bugger. But I know one thing to say, eh? He is doing well now. He just went through, wasn't nice what he went through, but that's okay. You know, we all do these different journeys, and you know, my heart to yours is all I can say. I've just been through a big celebration of life for a guy, and it doesn't matter how long ago someone has you know, made the transition. It's still fresh. You know, these things are still fresh. I don't think there's a time limit on it. That's just my view. You know, the skin grows over, but it's still there.
He
and I'll leave you with that. Pardon?
It's just
Go
a
ahead.
Year ago he passed away.
Well, you know, my heart to yours, like I said, he is in a much greater place. You have to know that. Like, it is so much better. I don't encourage anyone to take the step up and beyond or whatever one wants to call it if they're not ready to. You know, and if they're thinking about it because they're really depressed, give a friend a call. But, you know, most people, he gives his heart to you. You were very special. I keep writing down the word heart, heart, heart. And it was his time to make his journey. You know that, though, don't you? It's a struggle,
it's,
I know.
I feel like he hasn't gone. I still haven't accepted it, let's put it that way.
Oh, darling, you know, it took me a couple of years when my brother died. It took me probably 2.5 years to really, really accept that it was the finality. And that's okay. All I can tell you is it's okay. You know, it's all good. We do it in our own way, in our own time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think there's a right or wrong way. I really don't. I don't care what anyone else says. We all do things in our own way, in our own fashion. And, you know, I don't believe there's a right way or a wrong way to, well, there is right ways. Or, I mean, we don't have to be, you know, going on and, you know, taking a bunch of drugs and drinking ourselves foolish. But, you know, what we feel in our hearts and how we miss them, nah, there's no time limit on that. Absolutely no time limit. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Veronica,
you're
thanks
welcome.
So much for calling. Good night, ma'am.
Good night.
I love midnight. sorry. I come awake at night. I have trouble being awake in the afternoon. okay, we've got Christine here. Hi, Christine. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. I'm going to give you what I get. No, I'm going to let Jen go first this time. I'll take notes this time. Jen, you go first.
Okay, what I'm getting with you is motocross. I don't even know what that means. I think it's motorcycles, racing motorcycles. Motocross is racing motorcycles in the dirt. And what I envision it to be is motorcycles in the dirt and gravel pits going up big hills. And I don't know why that just slams me in the face with you, but it does. What's your name again? Christine.
Yes.
I also get the color blue, really vivid blue with you, blue skies. You're a very happy person, outgoing person, and one that has learned to guard their heart, actually. I feel that you're going to be coming into some money in a short period of time. I'd say eight. I'm giving the number eight. I want to say 8 weeks, but that doesn't really feel right to me. But they're giving me the number eight. Eight.
A bit of time. The 8 weeks?
I'd like... Pardon me?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
I said it feels like you're coming into some money, possibly in 8 weeks. But 8 weeks doesn't seem right to me. It seems like it's going to be a bit longer. I'm not a heck of a good time person. I'm given the number eight, though, with you. I'm also told to tell you to take it easy on yourself. You're beating yourself up right now, and I'm not sure why. There's other people that are willing to do that for you, talk about you, call you down, whatever. We all have people like that amongst us. You don't need to do that to yourself. Believe in yourself, and because you're a very vibrant person. I'm also being shown that there is something to do with blisters around you. Did you get blisters? Did you get new shoes?
A while back, but I have no blisters.
I'm being shown blisters. So you're either going to be getting a new pair of shoes and traveling, but no, I'm getting blisters with you, and that's really, okay. Did you have a fight with someone, Christine? Did you have words with someone?
Well, a few weeks ago.
Okay, this sounds weird. It's like it was a blistering attack on your, what's that called, person, on your reputation. What they said to you was untrue, but it was like a blistering attack on you. Is that an adequate or an appropriate phrase to say?
I think it was just a misunderstanding, but it turned out to be okay. I mean, it didn't really, you know, things actually turn around. If anything, I think things are coming back to normal.
Okay, but did that happen, yes or no?
Well, it's not uncommon that people get into disagreement.
No, it's not uncommon, and I'm not saying it. No, I'm just, that's what I'm being shown, darling. That's what this, I'm getting an older woman with light brown hair, glasses. Oh, she's got a stand-up collar around her neck. I guess it would probably be a Peter Pan collar. She's coming through, and this is what she's telling me happened to you. A few weeks ago, someone had a blistering attack on you, in her words.
Okay.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to...
I'm sure that that person that I had a disagreement with went around and started a smear campaign. I mean, that's what people do at work.
And that happened?
I don't know if she blistered my reputation, but
no, I'm not saying blistered your reputation. It felt like that at the time, darling. When you had words with her, you felt like you were being attacked. You know when someone says mean things to you and how hurt your feelings were hurt.
No, I was annoyed, but I was not hurt by. I thought they were quite childish.
Okay.
And I just didn't really pay attention to them. And a few weeks later, I felt that my supervisors really liked me a lot. And if it's anything, I feel I'm doing quite well. And I just don't pay attention to their drama. I don't know. Yeah, that was what happened.
No, I'm not saying you're not doing well at all or not. This is just what I was being shown. I'm also getting that, like I said, the color blue. The color blue is really prominent with you.
Can I jump in?
Yes, please, Barbara.
I want to latch on to the color blue because I keep getting pummeled by it. Blue is the number of communication. Blue is the number of creativity, and you have a lot of communication going on around you and within you. It's almost as though you're talking to yourself a lot. It feels as though there's an opening that is coming for you. I keep seeing you, I keep seeing, again, that number, it's the color blue, and I see it in many different forms around you. I also see you in a blue coat. And to me, that would be, you know, the ability to communicate with the people around you. And I'm seeing you changing your coat often. It's almost as though you have a different way of communicating with almost everybody that you talk to. And that's actually appropriate because, you know, we do go to different levels of understanding and different levels of consciousness when we talk to different people because everybody has a different frequency that they respond to best. I'm seeing you changing your coat a lot. I'm seeing you changing your hat a lot. It's almost as though you become a different person with almost everybody that you're around. And that's an amazingly charming gift, actually. It means that you are able to adjust to whatever environment that you're in or whatever group of people that you're involved with. If I look at you in past lives, it really feels as though that this is something that this is a talent and a gift that you have had in many past lives, that the ability to blend in with or to function well within any sort of strange or unusual grouping of people is something that has definitely worked well with you over your lifetimes. There have been lifetimes in which you were a person who was, I kind of want to say, a peacemaker. You would talk to one party and then to another, and then you would help them come to a mutual understanding. You've done this in Europe, and I want to put you probably around 1100, in which you worked with not with the nobility, but with the aristocracy. You were a person that people brought their problems, difficulties to, and in many ways you behaved sort of in the guise of a judge. In the people would plead their cases, and you would help them understand what would be a fair and equitable solution to what was going on. If I take you back even further in history, I can take you back into Rome, where again you were, and in this case you actually were a judge. So that you have, and in that past life, in that lifetime in Rome, you really did sit in judgment of people, and often you hesitated and you refused to give death penalties. It was to you a better punishment to have someone serve out a number of years rather than to put them to death, so that your philosophy was frowned upon, but it was honored because you were a very powerful person in that lifetime. This lifetime, you are able to see both sides of almost every issue, and you try not to judge, but to be fair and to look for the truth in every situation. You do a good job. You really do. And it feels to me as though you're going to use your creative and your communicative skills to make a place for yourself in this job and in whatever jobs come beyond this job, because it feels like this is a stepping stone. I feel that at some point in time you will feel the need to move on in order to have greater opportunities for advancement. And it does mm-hmm. feel as though there is school of some sort that is going to, there will be classes or some sort of further education you're going to have to get to move into the venues that you want to go into. But I do feel you'll do that, and I feel you'll be very successful. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for calling. Good night now. Okie doke. Now we have one of my favorite people, I think. Are you still awake, Melvin?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Thank you very much for what you all do.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you what I get, and then Jen is going to give you what she gets. And it's really kind of fun because I work with Jen, and every now and then I pick up a little bit of what she does. I don't smell anything, but actually what I'm feeling here is, I guess Ray Booker must be hanging around someplace, because I keep hearing music, and I keep hearing the music of the 40s. I keep hearing the waltzing and the foxtrots. What would you call it? The formal dancing. I keep hearing music around you, and it feels as though it's time to dance. It's time to start to move in time and to flow in time and in rhythm with the universal energy that's around you. It feels as though, changes are happening, and I want to tell you to go out and dance. I really feel that there's a need for dancing. There's a need for celebration. And it's not the kind of dancing that you necessarily have to have a partner for. It's the kind of dancing that you can do in a group. And as I'm talking about the music, it's changing, and I'm hearing Native American drums and chanting. And I feel that you've had past lives, a couple of past lives, actually, as a Native. And I almost feel like you have a history of some Native American in your family, in your genetic family that you know about. Anyhow, it feels as though there's a sense here of a need for rhythm and a need for celebration. And it feels like you may have been a little out of balance of late, but it does feel as though you're coming back into balance and things are beginning to flow a great deal better for you than they have in the past. It feels as though you are you're exhausting yourself, and you, the spirit wants to tell you to, you know, take it easy, to go a little more lightly on yourself, to not push yourself quite so hard. You are your own worst judge. You are the one that gives yourself the most, you're harder on yourself than anybody else could possibly be. And you have a wonderful, kind, giving, loving spirit. And almost every person around you is gifted by your presence. And you have to know that you are so appreciated and loved. It's just unbelievable. And I reach to spirit here because there is a man in spirit who stands behind you, and I feel it's on your father's side. Is your father in spirit?
Yes, ma'am, he is.
I feel he's been around you a lot lately, and that there is that. I feel compelled to tell you that he's very proud of you. He's very proud of how you are dealing with your life and your situation, and the kindness that you exhibit is profound. He's saying that he was not as forthcoming with affection as he could have been, and that you go beyond what would be the norm, and in many ways you make up for his the fact that he wasn't as verbal about his caring and his love for the people in his life. And if there's any regret he has, it's that he wasn't more forthcoming with how he felt about people, because he did keep things to himself a lot more than he would have liked to, and he realizes now how important those words were. Jen, can you pick up on him? Because that's about all I can get from his father.
What I'm getting, and Melvin, as soon as Barbara said your name, I got the song Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong. And I think we all know that song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible. I know Ray, and we often pick up songs together, and I think it's one of the most brilliant ways that spirit has of coming through and giving us validation and talking to us. What I'm also getting is Porgy and Bess, and I guess I could Google it, look it up, but that's such an old one, and I don't know if that means anything to you, Melvin.
Uh-huh.
Pokey. Does it?
You said Pokey?
Porky.
Porky and...
No,
Beth.
Porgy. Not Porky. Porgy. P-O-R-G-Y. It's not Porky.
Oh, yeah.
Porky
not
with a
Porky
pig.
The pig. Well, if you want to take Porky the pig, I got a pig a bit earlier. If you want pig, I'll give you the pig. I got pig earlier, but that's okay too. But now I got Porgy and Bess, and the need for speed with you. And I don't know why I've got the need for speed with you, Melvin. Do you drive with a lead foot? Do you put the pedal to the metal when you drive?
I catch myself doing that going to work, yes, ma'am.
Well, you watch out, because there's going to be one of those radar traps or one of those police cars around you.
oh, boy.
And just be cognizant of the speed you're doing for the next little while, okay? And the reason I say that is because I also got Clint Eastwood in Dirty Harry saying, come on, make my day. So there's obviously a policeman. You're not a cop, are you, Melvin?
No, ma'am, I'm not. I'm a former U.S.
Okay.
Marine.
You're a U.S. Marine.
Yes, ma'am.
Now,
I'm a former Marine, yes, ma'am.
You're not a former, you're never a former Marine.
I am a United States Marine.
Okay.
I know nothing about you, but I've got this Clint Eastwood thing, Dirty Harry, make my day, and then just thinking, holy smokes. I'm laughing here. So I've also got that you're big into family dinners. They're showing me family dinners for you, Melvin. So I don't know what the significance is there, except that, you know, I know the season is now coming up, that family dinners are going to be happening, and that, you know, that they play an important part in most of our lives if we're fortunate enough to have our family around us and with us. And we're close enough to partake in that. I'm also getting the song Dust in the Wind by Kansas. And I smell the dust in the wind. It's everybody knows what that smells like. I don't know if everybody knows what that smells like. I know what it smells like to me when the wind comes up and the dust gets in your face and your nostrils and mouth gets filled with the gravel and the sand and dust. Like, that is just, that's what I'm being shown for you. I don't know where you are in the States, but I'm getting Kansas and Dust in the Wind. So I don't know what the significance of that is for you. And that song came out, I did Google it, came out in 1977, I believe. So I don't know what the significance of that year is to you, Melvin.
I'm in Georgia, so, yeah, it's a lot of dusty roads in the country part of Georgia here. So I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't heard that song before, but I will Google it.
Oh, yeah, it's one of the most beautiful songs ever, in my opinion. But 1977 comes up for you. So I don't know what that year means to you, but I'm told to give you 1977. That would make you...
Yeah,
pardon me?
Yes, ma'am, because I graduated from high school in 1979.
Okay, so that was your high school years.
Yes.
So,
yes,
good years then.
Yeah.
And you're not to put yourself into a box anymore, Melvin. Take yourself out of that box and expand your horizons once again. Okay.
Good things coming for me, you know, with my finances and, you know, in relationship, because I work part-time here in Georgia, but I was working at a mental hospital and they closed down, but I'm working only part-time, and it's like, you know, it's like I barely have to, I be late now every month to pay my rent and utilities, but I get it done, but I need another job, because I have put in a lot of different applications, different places, but I was on unemployment, and they stopped my unemployment, but they owed me back pay, about 9 weeks of it, and I filed two appeals. I had one appeal hearing on the phone, and I request another one. I haven't heard from them yet, and so I hope they give me my back pay. My unemployment, and plus I need a full-time job.
Yeah. I get a warehouse for you. So I don't know, like, if that would be a big box store or working in a warehouse, stocking shelves, but I see you working in a big warehouse, Melvin.
What about security in a warehouse? I see him in another uniform.
That wouldn't be in a football coaching uniform, would it? I mean, I have applied for some security jobs. So.
All I can tell is when she said warehouse, I saw a uniform. I know for sure that you will probably not this year, but next year be coaching football in some capacity. But between now and then, I see you in a security guard's uniform of some sort. So I do feel that a security job is going to come through for you.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jen.
No, I'm glad you said that, because what I'm seeing is, I'm trying to make sense of this, is that there is, I smell a locker room, and the nose doesn't fail me. I've been in so many locker rooms, hockey rooms and lacrosse and whatever else, and the smell is so distinct. Right, Melvin? The smell
yes.
of sweat, and doesn't matter if it's a girls' hockey room or a boys' or whatever, or lacrosse, or, wow, are they taking me into that? Yeah, you're going to be doing that. And
what, coaching?
Yes. But you're also going to be working at the facility to start with.
Okay. Is there a time frame when I, kind of start with this? Will I have to quit my part-time job and just work full-time security until I start coaching next year? Because the season already started anyway for football, so that'll give me plenty of time. Because that's my love, that's my passion, working with young kids, working with them in and off the field, because I'm about eight classes away from getting my degree in middle grade education, but I ran out of tuition. That's why I was asking about funds as well.
I would go into volunteerism, volunteer your time at the different sports facilities, and you must have the recreation facilities around you. I think volunteerism is a huge way of getting a foot in the door for coaching and broadening your horizons there. It's also a great way of getting mentorship.
Right. I have coached in the past with the same team here in Georgia, and actually I had an interview last year about this time, and the guy told me that he'll hire me, and I was so excited and just so grateful for it. And then he turns around and about a week later and said he squashed the job, that the job no longer exists. So I go to the games and sit in the bleachers. And do you know why he did this to me?
Oh, yeah, I can tell you why they ran out of money. It wasn't that he was doing something intentionally to you. They didn't have the money.
They did not have the money.
No.
It was funding.
Yeah, the budget got cut. It wasn't, don't take it personally. The budget got cut.
Okay.
I just volunteer. If you want to get on there, volunteer. They'll find a place for you. You're also going to be working there. So, like people say, don't quit your day job. Don't quit your day job, Melvin.
No, keep striving.
And did you have a concussion at one time?
Not to my knowledge. I've failed a lot, but I don't know. I haven't been to the doctor for that. I had like a couple of years, not a couple of, let's see, in 2008 I was working, and I failed in the cooler. And I hit my neck area on my right side, and I had some problems. I have problems on my right side with my right arm to get it. It moved and all that, but it hurts. And then down my lower back, my vertebrae, lumbar, my
mm-hmm.
back is really bad. And then my legs now have started hurting a lot, and I have to take pills and ice down and stuff like that for pain, because I'm in pain every day. And the other young lady, she was right about my grandfather. About my grandfather, he is a full-blooded Cherokee Indian, and like my and my mother, she's partially Indian, and my grandfather and my grandmother on her side, and so all of, you know, they deal with a lot of joints and muscles. And my mom, before she passed away in 2010, she had a lot of issues with her back, and she couldn't walk anymore. We had to pick her up, and she was like 83 years old. Yes, ma'am. And so, so that, you know, with my joints and all of that, my muscles in my lower back, I've been trying to, I went to physical therapy, I went to massage therapies, and sometimes seem like I don't have a problem. I go out and walk 5 miles, and I soak in sea salt, take a sea salt bath and try to get it, you know, to loosen up and stuff and ice it down, but it's like, it comes back. It's really bad right now. Big
okay.
Time.
Now you know that neither Jen nor I are doctors, right?
Oh, I know that. Yes, ma'am. Yeah,
okay. Okay. Just. I'm prefacing what I'm going to say to you. I'm not a doctor. I can tell you, I have a feeling about something here that I would like you to look into, but I'm not a doctor. So you check out whatever I say with a doctor, okay?
Okay. I feel
strongly that you have some pinched nerves and that what you've got going on there could easily be helped by using an inversion table. Not totally upside down, but to a 45-degree angle. And what that does is it allows your body to create a attraction with your own weight, and it pulls your spine and your bones straight, so that any pinched nerves will be released. And I feel strongly that you've got pinched nerves there. So try it, but check with your doctor first and make sure that you have someone there when you try it.
But it
feels strongly to me as though you have pinched nerves that you don't even need a chiropractor for. You just need to hang upside down a little bit.
Oh, that's so true, because my son he's going through therapy now, because 2 months ago he was standing out talking, him and two more people, and two guys were shooting at each other, and my son got shot in the neck, and it paralyzed my son.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yes, ma'am. And now my son has been in the hospital here in town, and about 2 weeks ago I had to transport him to another hospital, and he can move his right arm a little bit. And he can move his neck. He had to have surgery on his neck, and had to have surgery on his esophagus area because he stopped breathing. And the doctors told me, Melvin, I don't understand why your son talking to me, because he's supposed to be dead.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and I said, well, it's the grace of God. And I prayed, and I asked God to just take the devil hands off of my son. So going through all of that with him, and he has 3 kids. But I'm just about finished. I should have it up this week, a website for the name of it is GoFundMe.com, and I have posted, yes, pictures and all of, you know, everything with me and my son, therapy and all of that, and even the article that was on the news when he got shot.
Well, with him, you let the doctors tell you what to do. But for your neck, I mean, stress and stuff like that will. But check it out with a doctor first, because I am not a doctor. But we've got to move on. We've got to move on, Melvin. But thank you for calling.
Thank you all so much. I needed that. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, Melvin.
Good night now. Bye-bye.
And prayers to your son, too.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. All right. Blessings to you all. Bye-bye.
Bye. He's one of my favorites.
Oh, what a generous heart that man has.
Oh, yeah, and he calls often, and I mean, he was a Marine. Oh, my goodness. You can tell.
Okay. Generous, generous heart. Wow.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. Okay, we've got Elmar here. Hi, Elmar. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, lady. I'm just, waiting for my luck. I'm doing fine.
Oh, good.
I have a war with my roofers. They don't do a good job. I have so much stress. But what to do?
Well, you sit on the computer and you talk to people all over the world. It's a cool thing. I'm going to give you what I get, and then Jen will give you what she gets, okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay, I can see you. It's really neat. You have been in many, many past lifetimes one who serves. And it's interesting. I can see in some past lives you served as being someone in a temple who a priestess or a priest. I see white robes, and I see that there is a great reverence and a great dedication inside of you. Also, great knowledge and wisdom, and knowing that sometimes it's the ceremony that helps to heal as opposed to, you know, the actual laying on of the hands. Sometimes people need to have a show and sometimes they don't. And I can see you in ancient Greece. I can see you in Athens. I can see you in, I can see you in Egypt, all with white robes. And then when I continue looking for you in the past, I see you serving, but you're serving wine, so that basically you actually worked in different lifetimes. You worked in the capacity of working in taverns, and this is in Europe. I'm seeing you in France, and I'm seeing you in Germany, and I'm seeing you in Sweden in about 100-year shifts, starting with about the year 900 and then going back further, so 9, 8, 700. In those particular lifetimes, often you wore white, and you were not a person who was in servitude. You actually served because your parents owned whatever facility or whatever tavern and they were taverns, and they were roadside taverns, so that, you know, there were coaches that came by with people who got out, and you took care of them, and you served food, and you were diligent, you were enthusiastic, and you always did more than you were asked, and it was really an exciting lifetime for you, because each time you did grow into owning the tavern and becoming very prosperous yourself. This lifetime you serve in different ways. And you serve basically with helping people understand themselves, and you serve with how you function within your reality. And it does feel as though there is a great spiritual strength within you and a great spiritual calling. And it feels as though you are investigating a lot of antiquity. You're looking back on many different kinds of spiritual practices and philosophies, so that you're broadening your knowledge, you're broadening your wisdom, and you're helping to incorporate it into a better understanding of the reality wherein we now dwell. So you're really stepping back, and you're seeing how our little thoughts are part of a larger picture, and that larger picture is one that fascinates you and keeps drawing you forward, because you want to learn more, and there's an amazing spiritual hunger inside of you that is quite profound. And it does feel as though over the next few months you're going to find yourself getting to places where you have what I call the aha moments, where you see something and you suddenly see it from a different perspective, and you go, oh, that's how it fits in. Now I understand it. You are very, very gifted intellectually with things that you read. Not so, I do feel that the technology in and of itself challenges you. However, it feels as though it opens you up to the wisdom of the ages, which is phenomenal and exciting for you. And it does feel that there's a hunger inside of you that absolutely never will be satiated. You'll always be looking and grabbing for more. It feels like it's a very exciting time for you because you have the time to learn, the time to grow, the time to incorporate a lot of different philosophies and blend it into one that is uniquely your own that you can share, you can live, you can walk, and you can talk. Jen, what are you getting?
Thanks, everybody.
Hi. Hi, Almer. How are you?
Hi, Jenny. How are you? Nice to talk to you again.
I'm good. I'm good.
I had
it's
a
nice
minute with
you,
you only.
Pardon me?
I had one time, minute or two with you only.
Yes, I think you did, and I'm trying to recall that, but I don't. Actually, I just know that I talked to you previously. What I'm getting for you is eggs and putting all your eggs into one basket. And or they are in one basket. They're going to be in one basket. It's going to be a time of plenty for you coming up, Elmer, and which is a good thing, I gather. And that you have to be cognizant, worry about the property of yourself, not of others so much. You count just as much as others do. Do you understand that? What I'm being shown is that you give a lot of your own personal energy to other people. Keep some for yourself, please. This is going to be a time that you're going to need it. What I'm also getting is a really, really strong smell of ammonia, like the cleaning solution. You use ammonia for cleaning windows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Barbara mentioned, what I get is that your vision is going to, in life is going to change. Like, take a look at things in a different way. And I think that's what Barbara said also, is that you're going to be looking at things differently. I'm also getting that you're getting pretty tired of the way things are at this moment and have been in the last little while. They're going to change up, okay? They are going to change up. I'm also getting that there is a multitude of angels or a choir of angels with you that follow you, and that at times you hear music, and that is from them and of them. It's not just your imagination. There's also a strong presence of a male in your life that has gone before. So he has died, but he still hangs out. What a weird way to say it. Hangs out with you. And I would put this, well, he's showing me he's about 45 years old, but I don't know if that is how old when he passed or not. I don't believe so, although he really likes the age 45. I don't know if the number or
him?
Age.
Is
it
dark?
I see him?
Yeah, he's
hard to tell.
I think he's my brother. He's just, I'm not really from my mom. He's just from family, another family from my great.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's him. Just let me do up my coat again, please.
Same was a Benedict, like a pop.
Yeah. Okay, so that's why we get the eggs Benedict, right?
Yeah.
So what I also get is pulled pork sandwiches for you. Weird, weird, weird. I don't know where that comes from. Don't care. I'm to give you pulled pork sandwiches.
I don't know. I don't
do
even
you know
eat
what?
Them.
Neither do I. I've made them once or twice. I know a friend makes them. But I'm supposed to give you that. So just be aware of that if that turns up in the next few days. I'm also to give you that you're very good with words. It's like you write a syllabus, and that is something someone would use for a student during the first class session so that the objectives and the means of obtaining the objectives are clear. And you're very good with teaching and well, obviously learning, but teaching and communication, which I'm not doing so well at this point in time. I know. Isn't that funny? And I have to keep telling you that there's going to be plenty for you. Okay, Elmar? There is going to be plenty for you. And I'm giving you, I'm supposed to give you the number 24 also. 2 and 4. But 24 more specifically. Okay? And you said something about roofers. I don't know. I'm sure you said roofers.
They were dishonest with me, and I'm so tired. They blackmail me. Jesus Christ.
You know, I wish you were up here because I'd give you a couple of good roofers to come and help you out. I just know that some of them lately have really taken advantage of people that I know, and I really feel horrid when that happens to anybody because that isn't right. You know, what can we say? We all know what happens.
Yeah.
But just rest assured that you will be taken care of, and you are watched over at all times, Elmer, okay?
Yeah, you know, that's one thing I know. I have this spirit. It's so many. And I'm trying to memorize which one is giving me a sign, which one is which one. And today that Benedict brother, you know, I just remember when I was working for International Association of Chemistry in Poland, and I was eating in downstairs the restaurant, and I remember the moment when he came. He was like around probably then 30, but he died early. He died already like 20 years ago. And he gave me such a sad look, and I loved him. He was my brother, you know, a relative brother. But he was so sad, and he was adopted. He was adopted, and I was always sorry. I have a broken heart that he didn't have a real mother, his father, and, you know, something, not to my mom, to the other family, to my grandmother family, you know, from the father's side.
You know,
and so I remember this moment, and this moment, this picture of him and that situation, it just show up to my eyes, and he was here, and they always send me love to my heart. So even if I'm lonely, they don't let me be, in a way.
Well, just know that even though your brother was adopted, as mine was, he is still your brother. It doesn't matter if they're the brother or the son of your heart or son of your liver or whatever. They're a son or a brother. It doesn't matter the blood. A brother, a son, a sister, a daughter. They are what they are. You know, when my brother died, someone had said, well, he's adopted. And I thought, what the hell does that mean? Seriously, what does that mean? Once again, I don't understand. You know, your mother was his mother in every sense of the word. You don't have to be a blood parent to be a parent.
Yeah.
And, you know, just take that with you because you know that. You absolutely know that. And most of us know that,
too. My mom loved him, and she was helping him, but he was adopted by my grandmother, and she wasn't a good woman.
Yeah. So,
that's why I kind of had a pain in my heart that I think he was like a lost baby, you know, all the time.
Like, some people go through life wondering when they're adopted, oh, someone didn't want me. I remember saying to a boss of mine one time, he said, oh, I was adopted. I said, God, you're lucky you were chosen, weren't you? I said, a lot of us, you know, don't get that choice. We get what we're given. Your parents actually went out and said, I'm choosing that. I want that boy. And he said, you know, I've never looked at it like that. I said, well, it's time you did then. Time you did.
Yeah. Well, you have a very warm heart, Janice. Yeah.
Thank you, Eleanor. So I'm off my soapbox about adoptions.
Yeah.
So thank you for calling, Elmar.
Yeah.
Good night, we'll now.
And take care, Elmar. Thank you for calling.
Wow. Okay. We've got one more we're going to do. We're going to talk to Mary Lou. Hi, Mary Lou. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. We're going to squeeze you in, okay?
Yay.
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 I'm going to give you... Since when?
January 1st. January 1st.
Oh, wow. You kept track? Wow. Okay.
I keep notes.
Oh, geez. Well, I'm going to give you what I get, and then Jen will give you what she gets. I'm seeing a ship, and it feels as though it's a square rigger, so it's an older ship. It's wooden, and it's under full sail. And to me, that's significant in your life, in that I feel that a lot of things are underway to a great degree here. And it does feel as though you have a lot of projects, a lot of aspects of your life that are flowing well. And I have to say that so long as you don't try to steer them, so long as you allow everything to evolve and move at its own pace, at its own speed, in its own direction, you're going to be just fine. If you actually try to steer and go against the wind or against the tide, you're going to find that there's struggle there and things can get confusing. You can't actually mess anything up, but you can slow the processes down that are ongoing. And at the moment, in this moment in time, it feels as though things are flowing very nicely for you. I see eagles. I see lots and lots of eagles flying and you know, the shifts from being at sea to being in the mountains. And I feel actually the mountains are Canadian, and it's cool. I don't usually get an area. It's around Sitka, Alaska, and it feels here as though I see tons and tons of bald eagles, and I see I know they've been diminishing, and yet I feel they're going to thrive once more. I'm seeing also larger birds, and these are condors, and they're flying over the Grand Canyon. And so there are lots of, you know, huge raptors that are around you all over the place. And to me, they are a symbol of thoughts taking flight, powerful thoughts taking flight, powerful thoughts being set free to soar and to manifest within your reality. And this is powerful stuff. It feels like there's great strength here that in a lot of your thoughts and the things that you have that are percolating inside your head. I'm seeing past lives in which your greatest achievements, your greatest accomplishments all occurred well after your 40th birthday. And it feels as though that's the case here, that every decade after 40 is going to open you up to the greater possibility and the greater potential of allowing the great wisdom and strength and knowledge that you carry within to be manifested within your reality in whatever way is most appropriate for you. I'm seeing you with... it's like you're burning the midnight oil. I'm seeing you working with a candle and working with parchment and working with literally a quill pen. And it feels as though you're writing wisdoms down, you're writing philosophies down. This has to be in about the 1100s, about the 10th century, 9th century, in that period of time. And you were working in a stone room that had no heats, so that there was a fire in a hearth, and that that's where you were getting your warmth from. But it feels as though you were pressured to get thoughts out before you lost them. And it feels as though during that lifetime you committed a great deal of work to paper that was saved. And it was saved in monasteries, and it was saved in, there's stuff in the Vatican too. So I didn't get the feeling that you were a monk, but I did get the feeling that you were a sort of prophet in that lifetime. And I do feel that you are going to do the same thing and have that same quality this lifetime, that a lot of the things that you write down and you share may well come to fruition long after your days are past, but your wisdom will live on. So do please start committing things to paper, start journaling, start writing, and you know, creating a legacy that will be for a time yet to come. Jen, what are you getting?
Hi, Mary Lou. What I'm getting is there's good stuff on the horizon for you. I see the sun rising, and it's coming for you. You know, it's like, what's that song? Tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. Pardon?
That's my clock talks.
Oh.
It said the time.
That was her clock, Jen.
Oh, her clock. What?
It just said it was 1 o'clock.
Oh, okay. And so the sun is rising, and it's you know, what the heck?
Sorry.
Anyhow,
she does that all the time.
No worries. Anyhow, I get that you're creative and that you paint, or that you have painted, and I'm also getting the word polish. So you either, now this is weird, Polish or Polish? Hard to decipher.
I think it's Polish.
Especially when I write it down. And I put a big question mark behind the Polish bit. But I get polishing. And you're going to be manifesting the ability to communicate with spirit. So you have to polish your skills, okay? Do you paint, or are you, do you work with your, I was going to say, do you work with your hands? No, I work with my feet.
I started with drawing and painting and calligraphy, and I moved on to photography.
Perfect. So please continue on with that, because I'm showing that you're very good with that. I don't know why I'm echoing.
I
don't know why you're echoing either.
I'll turn it down a little bit. It's probably me.
Okay. I've also got that there's roads to be traveled, and that you've traveled many roads. And when Barbara said that she saw you at a hearth getting warmth, what I got immediately was stone soup. You know how a traveler came and they put a stone in the pot, and they added the veggies to it, and it was just a way of, you know, getting the woman to share, whatever. But I got this big pot over the fire in the old open oven, and you were cooking beside it, and that's very, very prominent. So you will be sharing, and I'm not sure why tonight we've got this huge, probably because it's autumn, in the beginning of fall, huge, you will be sharing meals and sharing suppers more specifically with friends and family, but more so than you normally do, and you will be providing for them. And it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. People will be bringing food to share also. It will become a ritual almost, is what I would say, if it hasn't already, that you're going to have a gathering place and people will gather to share energy and share laughter, love, that kind of thing. We're all familiar with it. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Krista, and I get money coming to you also.
Oh.
Absolutely interested in that.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
And growing up, my neighbor was Jenny Young. Just so you know.
Me. How cool
that
is that?
That is wild.
Well, thank you for finding us at midnight, Mary Lou.
This is my time. I burn the midnight oil, so thank
well,
you,
we're,
ladies.
We're going to try to do more midnight shows. I mean, we have to kind of a couple of the guests that I have can only do the 4 to 6 time frame, but we're gonna be doing more at midnight, and so just keep watching, and we will be putting it out there so you can catch us then.
Okay,
so thanks
awesome.
For calling. Good
thank
night.
You.
Good thank night. You. Night now.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jen, very, very much. This has been wonderful, and I'm going to move us to midnight. I'll talk with you about which night would be best for you. At another time, but I like this time. So
I don't mind this time at all. It's actually a good time for me.
Okay, well,
so,
we'll compare calendars.
As it stands right now?
Yeah, we'll compare calendars and see what we can figure out. So thank you again, and thank you, everybody, for being here. And have a good night, and we will catch you next time. Good night now.
Night.